Welcome in. It's the three wise men from WSN. I'm Danny Holbrook. Well, it's the one wise man and
yes.
some substitutes, but Shepherds. They're great substitutes.
Shepherds.
I'm joined today by Diamond Dave Bowen, Randy Roberts. Guys, thanks so much for filling in. Nate's battling the flu. Yeah. Miles is battling an anniversary. So we appreciate you guys.
Anniversary number one.
Anniversary number one. Yeah. That's right. That's the lovely Lexi and he are going out for dinner, and I talked to him today, and they're super appreciative of you guys filling in. So we're going to have a great show. So let's get right
now,
to it.
Now, this Miles guy I'm filling in for,
yeah.
I've never met him before. So
what kind of guy is he like? He's very quiet, very, you know, kind of,
okay.
yeah.
All right.
Just
kind
of sits
I just want to make sure I have the same vibes.
Yeah,
I just want to, okay.
He just kind of sits in the back and waits, you know.
All right.
But you guys know your place in the batting order, right? All right, let's do it. Let's get to the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week, and we're going to start with Diamond Dave Bowen.
Well, it was Saturday up at the Stroh Center. I know that you guys may have this as well, but David Sheldon, Colonel Crawford winning over LCC, Lima Central Catholic, and I've known David for 19 years. He's been head coach at Colonel Crawford for 19 years, but just his reaction, Colonel Crawford had never won a regional championship, and that was just pretty neat to see how excited he was. And then Jason Vermillion as well with Arlington. But Jason's a great friend, just real pleased and happy for Arlington, the Red Devils, and to come away with that regional championship. But one I really want to throw out there, you know, defeat is tough, absolutely, you know, at that level especially. And I went to the press conference for LCC, Sean Powell and Chris Howe from the Lima News. Chris did an outstanding job of asking questions of Coach Powell. And Coach Powell did a great job answering those questions. It was really professional. It was fun to watch in a tough situation. And I was just really proud of how everybody handled basketball and losing in that situation and how it's a game. And these kids really give great effort. And when it comes down to it, that's who we want to give kudos to, the kids and their efforts.
Yeah. Ready?
So mine's kind of in the same vein. I is the only guy who spent time, I guess, watching tournament basketball in Toledo that's on the panel. My Diamond Dave is Shawnee and just their crowd. Great game on Wednesday night. And then kind of Saturday, had it there for a while. And Sandusky, I think the athleticism of Sandusky surprised him. But best thing I saw is just the Shawnee crowd. And just the way Shawnee showed up, filled their half of Savage Arena. I've been there for hundreds of games over my time, and it looked like a typical UT college crowd in there for a high school game. And so credit goes to Shawnee, just the way they won on Wednesday, and then the way, kind of like what Dave said, the way they took their loss with class.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. And
I thought your social media post was fantastic, Randy, and it really brought out the emotions you had of getting to call a game from a place like that, because you grew up there.
Yeah,
and
so
I thought that was amazing.
For anyone that doesn't know, I went to school at the University of Toledo, so I worked for the student radio station, and I was there as a student broadcaster doing women's basketball early 2000s, right at the beginning of Toledo's kind of dominance of the MAC in women's basketball. And I've never been back. I went as a fan. My alma mater got to play a regional semifinal game there once when I was maybe in high school or just after, but I've never been back. So that was really cool for me as a place. The place is, I know Ohio State is special for you guys, and I kind of roll my eyes when when you guys talk about Ohio State.
Right.
But that when you guys, you know, if you, every time you talk about Ohio State, substitute the word Toledo.
That's for you.
And that's for me. There and that's the way it is for me. So that was that was huge. I absolutely loved it. I was very – I had a chance to become their radio play-by-play guy a handful of years ago. Didn't go my way, and love ended up at WOSN. Absolutely love it. Great that I get a chance to work with Miles. But no, that
look where you're at.
Right,
now,
that's
brother.
Right. Now I'm doing the three wise men. So
that's right.
Absolutely. No, that was big. That personally was big for me. That's a place that obviously near and dear to my heart. That's going to be the number one arena. All like you can go to Columbus, and I did state basketball in Dayton. Absolutely loved it. Dayton's a basketball town. But I will, if there's 25 people that show up, Savage. That's great for me, and I love it. And that's my all-time favorite.
That's fantastic. Guys, for me, what Jason Vermillion, the game plan they put together against Delta St. John's was nothing short of just amazing to me. And I loved watching the ins and outs. And I said to Jason today, we had him on the radio mm-hmm. show, and I said, Jason, if you tell me that you're going to play that matchup zone and give up 12 threes and you win, would you believe? And he didn't even hesitate. He went, no. You know, yeah. And they were so good in that. They never wavered from the game plan. And then they went Villanova 1985 and shot 22 of 32 from the floor, which is unbelievable. And mm-hmm. I said to him, did you think that was going to happen? He said, I've never been part of anything like that. Mm-hmm. He said, our kids were fantastic. And Jace Vermillion and the Griggs kid were getting to the rim. And I've never seen, and I've seen great big men play at the high school level and the college level and obviously NBA. But the Willow kid in the middle who had 22 points, and he's just gotten better as the year went on.
Sure
I've
has.
Never mm-hmm. seen a kid understand his role on the defensive scheme like he did Saturday. He understood to come out of the basket, to approach him at the foul line. He met him at the high post. It was just mind-boggling how good he was. And you kept thinking, well, when's the collapse going to come? Well, look, they get down by 10 in the third quarter, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Delphi St. John's is going to make one of those runs and go beat him by 28. And with 30 seconds to go, St. John's has got the ball. They're up four, and I'm thinking Elwer's going to get a three, and it's going to be seven, and it's going to be such a heck of a hole to climb out of. Well, as the buzzer went off, we're tied. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest 30 seconds I've ever seen in high school basketball, and there was only 4 points scored, but it was incredible.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And that zone defense, and as you talked about with Willow and how he stepped away from being under the basket, it just put – St. John's in a tough situation. Yeah. And again, basketball over here on this side of 75, we're used to the physicality and there's always bodies banging. And Kim would get the ball at the elbow or right in that area and there's nobody touching him. Yeah, yeah. He's just not used to that. Now, he couldn't get the shot off because of 6'10".
Yeah.
Right there. But 6'10 didn't come up on him so he could get by him. Just made it really tough.
Yeah, Darren Gilbert was doing the broadcast with me, and one of his keys was St. John's has to hit 15 to 17 footers. They mm-hmm. never took them.
Exactly.
They never took them.
Exactly.
And I was blown away by that. But Willow was so good defensively. And, you know, Cam had four at halftime, and he looked a little rattled. He did come out in the third quarter and really played a nice
sure
third
did.
Quarter. But Arlington never waited. I really thought that if Arlington would have started that game out, if Willow would have missed three or four in a row, I just wonder if he'd have went away from it. But I'm not real sure right now because he had in mind what he wanted, mm-hmm. and it was fantastic. I thought that we would see Delphi St. John's in State, but look, Arlington earned that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And they got a heck of a game. We're going to talk about that later coming up. So mm-hmm. it's interview time here on the Three Wise Men, and we've got some really special guests here from the Ottawa Glendorf Lady Titans, Caitlin Kimmett and Carson Erford. Ladies, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, 23-1 this year, and you guys over at Ottawa Glendorf, you just seem to do that every year. Talk a little bit about this season, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. Obviously, you bowed out a little earlier than you wanted to, but a great season nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, we knew coming in that we had some high hopes and we had a lot returning, but we had some work to put in. And I think it's kind of a tradition to have like pretty good seasons, and we're just lucky enough to be part of that and build off that. And I mean, I wouldn't trade the season for anything. I think it went better than regular season, went better than we expected. And we just kind of took it one game at a time. And I think that kind of went in our favor in pretty good ways. And it didn't end exactly how we wanted, but I think we did a lot more than we thought we were going to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Coach Yant and playing for him. And, you know, is he demanding? Is he tough on you guys? I mean, what kind of coach is he like?
Yeah, he's pretty demanding, especially in practice for sure.
Just. Some of us may have noticed in games as well.
Well, I know he's a fiery guy.
I mean, in practice, he just expects a lot from us, especially from last season coming from state. Just getting back in the gym, really working every practice, and then taking it, like you said, game at a time. But I'd say he's pretty demanding.
Yeah.
Pretty demanding, but can you share something offbeat that Coach Yant does or anything that you guys as teammates are like, oh, there goes Coach Yant again. You keep a straight face, but later on you might talk about it, laugh, and have a good chuckle. Something you'll remember.
I think he's kind of out-of-pocket funny.
Yeah.
We don't really realize it like during practice, but like we'll think back on it. We'll be, man, he really did say that. we didn't really catch on until like later on. But
yeah.
Or his pregame speeches, I mean, you wouldn't expect it, but they really get us going before the game, and I think that's something he's been really good at in building over these games, and I think they got us going before every game.
You ladies talked about having, you know, past seasons at OG, especially with girls basketball. Is there any pressure to add, you know, to have seasons like you just had?
I mean, I don't really take it as pressure. I just see it as being able to be part of that program. I mean, we're one of the best programs, and to be able to say that we're part of that and we're continuing the legacy and we're building the tradition even more and making even more little girls excited to play. I mean, growing up, that was my dream, to be part of the Lady Titan program and to be one of the main people. I think that truly would make, like, little me so happy. And I think just inspiring all these little girls, I don't really see it as pressure. I just kind of think of it as following our dreams and making the dreams come true.
Man, I want to go play basketball, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's go do it.
Talk a little bit about that tradition at Ottawa Glandorf. And really, you know, you guys put so much time and energy and effort into the program. And it's Ottawa's like no other town. It's basketball crazy. I mean, you guys are good in every sport, it seems like. But, you know, every night the gym is full. No matter win or lose, the fans come out. Talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think we have one of the best communities. I would not trade that for anything. And no matter what, always looking up in the crowd and having the bigger fan base, home game, away game, that's something special not a lot of teams can say. And we're beyond blessed, everyone that comes out and supports us. And always coming out in the tournament runs, I think looking up in the crowd before the games and seeing how many people, like, made the hour-and-a-half trips to our tournament games, that's truly special. And considering there was a lot going on, and in the past there's always been boys' games too, and they'd go from girls' games to boys' games, and it's truly special to be part of this community, and I think everyone's blessed enough to say that, to be part of OG community.
How cool is it to walk down the hallways and see those little girls come running up to you? Because that happens, right?
Yeah, it was really special, for sure.
You like that? Do you like being a leader for those young ladies and show them how to do it the right way?
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
As you reflect on the season, and again, we're just very, very short into that time period, but can you think of a moment or a game or one specific play that you're just super proud of that you were involved with, either defensively, offensively, something that happened during a game or a game in and of itself that you sort of earmark as far as the season that you're going to reflect down the road and say, yeah, that was pretty special?
I would say maybe our Patrick Henry Fort Laramie game. I think Fort Laramie, always going to Fort Laramie, you know it's going to be tough. I mean,
sure.
It's a great program over there, and they've built that up from the ground. And to be able to go in their home place, twice now we went there. Both my times in high school, we went there and we beat them. And, yeah, that's something not a lot of teams can say. And I think that is truly something that I'll probably remember forever, just going to Fort Laramie.
Caitlin?
Yeah, I'd also agree with Fort Laramie. We prepared ourselves really well for that game. And I think just going out there and actually performing and putting all of our preparation into work and coming out with the result we wanted, I think it was really special.
Awesome.
And that boosted our postseason run, I think, for mm-hmm. sure.
Did you guys grow up, you talked about wanting to be part of the program. Did you guys grow up going to the games and being part of that program? And talk a little bit about, you know, that drive to get to where you're at now.
Oh, yeah, I always had family in the program, and I feel like I was always in the best.
Your family's in the program big time, yeah.
And, I mean, as growing up, seeing all the big girls on the court, like, it was like my dream to be what they were. And I mean, I knew it was going to take a lot of work. I think everyone knew, like, to be able to get there is going to take a lot more work than just in the gym during the season, postseason, anything. But to be able to look up to those girls, I mean, they made me who I am today, and they pushed me to be who I am, and I'd be ungrateful for that.
Caitlin, talk a little bit about you guys' relationship. You guys played a lot of basketball together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love playing with Carson. She's a great teammate, great person, too. She really understands the game of basketball, and she loves to get everybody involved, and sometimes too much. Mr. Yan can say to that, but no, she's a great teammate, really good player.
Well, look, every time we have basketball players, football players on base, whatever, I always ask them the one question. All right, now there's a lot of people that watch this show, okay? And we're on YouTube, we're on TV, so watch what you say here. But I need you to be honest with me. What's the one team that you really enjoy beating the most?
Liberty Van.
Oh, and out of conference. There you go. How about you?
I'd say Fort Laramie.
Fort Laramie, yeah. I'll be honest with you. When I saw you guys score this year, that was pretty impressive. You guys did a nice job. Yeah. Randy's going to throw some
OGLB's girls basketball has had some huge
games. Yeah. Well, Randy's going to throw some questions at you. Now, you need to get ready for this because we're going to rapid fire.
Yeah, I had to do this in the style of Miles since he's not here, so I had to go back and actually watch a couple old episodes and figure out what it is exactly. She's like, do the five rapid questions like I had any idea that meant. But here we go. Number one, oddest pregame routine.
Pass out. power poses.
Yes.
All right.
Wait. What's power pose?
Wait, it's not rapid fire now, I think. Yeah. Come on, Dan.
I just want to know what a power pose is.
Yeah,
I
want to. Just get you ready for the game. Yeah.
You're not going to do them power poses?
No. Do it in the locker room.
All right, number two. Who's the best dancer on the team?
Carly. Carly, yes, Carly.
All right. Is that okay with you, Danny?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. What's the one thing you can't play without?
I don't know.
Strahan's pregame talks.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of that, who on the team can do the best Coach Yann impersonation?
Gracie.
That means someone has tried to do a Coach
Yann impersonation. Yeah, I want to see one.
All right, and the fifth one, who's the most underrated player on the team?
Megan?
Yeah.
Megan.
All right. That's five rapid-fire questions.
Pretty good, Randy. Yeah. Who should we want? I'm going to follow up on that question. Who, when you guys leave the program, who's the next player that you're like, wow, she's going to carry on the tradition? She's really good.
I mean, a lot of those girls are going to step into some pretty big roles. I mean, we got a lot of people graduating, and I think a lot of them know their roles are improving next year and majorly. But I would say probably Madison and Gracie are going to have to become pretty big leaders on this next year's team and after we leave, of course.
Yeah. How tough was that season? I've coached a lot. Dave's coached a lot. That loss at the end of the season, that's really tough to deal with. How tough was that for you guys?
Yeah, we knew we didn't come out and play our best game. It's kind of hard to win the game when we shot 30% or so from the court. But, I mean, we got to build on it for next year and kind of take it and move on. There's nothing we can do about it now. I mean, it still sucks, still burns, but I think that's kind of our motivation for next season now and how much more work we have to put in to get where we want to go.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Guys, we have a lot of guests on here, but you guys got all the right answers. I'm telling you, you're so impressive. I mean, that says a lot about you, and it says a lot about the way you've been raised and in the community you're from. So congratulations on everything you guys have got. You can tell you've earned it.
Thank you.
What's a typical day like getting ready for basketball? And I'm sure you're in more than just basketball at Auburn. I mean, everybody does everything at Auburn Glandorf. I go over there for games, and there's like 17 booths selling things. The community's all going crazy. What's a typical day like at Auburn Glandorf?
I'd say just getting up and getting ready to go whatever you go to. I mean, you go to school, and then you never just go home after school. You're always going home or getting ready for practice or going straight from practice, going to team meal. I don't know. I really don't say I have a lot of free moments during the year, but
not a lot of free time.
I mean, I love it that way. I don't think I would want to go home after school.
What's your thoughts on the athletic director, Mr. Tyson McLaughlin?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, guys, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. You guys got anything else? Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in, guys. You guys were fantastic. Best of luck with whatever you're going to do, and go Titans, right?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys, for you, did the atmospheres improve for the regional tournaments? I mean, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the three total games that I saw, now I had two private schools. I had a private school in each semifinal, which if you want to do the public versus private thing.
You're talking about crowd size.
Yeah, crowd size is right. But as far as an atmosphere, yeah, I thought it's improved from each level that I've been to.
I would agree. And again, Elida Fieldhouse, I call it Little Mecca. And
it's amazing.
It's just awesome. And all the games there were outstanding. And then the Stroh Center is the Stroh Center. Again, it's a neat experience. Again, I can hang my hat on the fact that I've been on the bench. And at Elida, everybody's right on top of you. And you love that. And then the Stroh Center fans out a little bit. And you love that, too, as a coach. And it just is a different atmosphere. It feels like a college campus, and it should, and it does. And I really do feel like it doesn't matter where, Northwest Ohio, we're going to show up, and our fans have.
Yeah, that game Saturday that I got to call at the Stroh Center, that every year the regionals have the same feel. It's always a sunny day. It's always cold. The people are wrapped around the building. You go inside. And really, the Stroh Center, like the old Lima Senior Gym, has a different feel from day and night. Because the
sun,
it really does.
Yes.
It has a different feel. Which I know
sunlight.
That's weird, but I that's how my brain
true.
Thinks.
Yeah.
But and the crowd was so into that, and there was ebbs and I'm a junkie. That to me, I could have stayed there all day and done basketball. It was so fun. And kudos to Nick. We did a three-man with myself, and you did too, and Darren Gilbert, and Mark Schein on the court. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. We kept going down to Mark behind the bench, and he had insight, and you guys did too.
Yep.
It was the funnest I've ever – I don't know if it's that word, Randy, funnest.
I think so.
Yeah. I would agree, though. I told I was with Evan Skilliter and Mark Schein for the LCC Colonel Crawford game, and I was play-by-play, and I just felt like I was a quarterback deciding who I wanted to toss the ball to, and it was just great. It was awesome.
I said after the game, I was Rocket Rod Foster. Remember the old UCLA Bruin, the point guard? That's who I was Saturday. Yeah, was
nice.
Hey, good. Guys, how good can Calvin Willow be? We saw his progression, and Mark Schein talked about from January to March, the progression he's made. How good can he be next year?
Yeah, I had him against Arlington Crestview early on, and Ren Sheets, Ren Sheets is Ren Sheets, back-to-back player of the year in the NWC. He dominated Willow. He took it right at him, and I'm like, oh, Coach Vermillion and Coach Recker, because I know Thane Recker works with their post players.
Yes, he does.
And we had to coach against him back in the day, and that's a nightmare to bring up. But anyway, Calvin Willow, I mean, the ceiling is unlimited, and how much he improved from the beginning of the season to where he's at right now, it's incredible. Again, as you look at down the road and the next game, they got to continue to hit some perimeter shots. I think if there's one thing Coach Elwert could go back and do, maybe they didn't bring the double team fast enough in the second half. He dropped right shoulder, but he got to the window. And when you're 6'10 and you're getting to the window, it doesn't matter. You can get through anybody if you're drop stepping that quickly. And I was very impressed with his play.
Yeah, I know, Randy, you were doing another game. Mm-hmm. But Calvin Willow, what impressed me the most about him as a 6'10 post player was his ability to put the ball on the deck and go left-handed.
Yes.
He was so smooth doing it. And I just thought to myself, I don't know that he'd have done that in January, but he was doing it effortlessly.
Yeah, he did
and there was
not.
No one there to stop him.
Yeah, he
and
did
he's
not
what,
do
a
that.
Junior?
Yeah, he's back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I think I took
your question a different way. So, like, my notes, bigger, stronger. Like, if he goes in the weight room,
and who
knows, you know, 60, I don't know if he'll grow anymore at 6'10, but you imagine another year of just physical strength. And another year of just knowledge is just...
Well, look, I'm a track guy, and I have followed his career the last couple of years, and I knew he won the state high jump championship. So this year, when they're talking about the 6'10 Willow kid, I had no idea who... I'm thinking, does he have a brother? Does he have a cousin? Who is this? And I think I pretty much know teams in the area. Well, I talked to his mom, and she's like, oh, he grew 5 inches over the summer. I'm
correct.
Like, who knew? Yeah. He went from 6'5 to 6'10. And he's just... Mm-hmm. He just looked comfortable Saturday.
Very comfortable, and it's going to be fun to watch him continue to play.
Guys, LCC went down. Lima Senior went down. Shawnee went down. Delphi St. John's goes down. What was the surprise of those games?
Well, I guess I'm going to say Shawnee just because that's the two that I saw and the ones that I prepared for. Miles and I both went and we watched the other semifinals, Lutheran West and then Sandusky, and in between games and then walking out was Wednesday night, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, I think we watched the regional championship when Shawnee played Toledo Central Catholic.
Yeah, okay.
And I just, Sandusky came out and I think their athleticism bothered Shawnee a little bit. Shawnee has had a run probably going back to early January where they were the most athletic on the floor and they're going to outrun you. And that Sandusky would turn the ball over at midcourt, and you do that against Shawnee, it's a layup or dunk, uncontested, other end of the floor. And they were playing 2-on-2 because they're getting back defensively. So I'm going to say Shawnee just because that's the one I saw, but really they're probably all, I guess, a little in their own unique ways.
That's a great observation.
A little, right?
Yeah, all of them a little bit. I didn't think we'd have this happen. But when you look back and these teams – best player on each team, maybe you have a discussion with senior there a little bit, juniors.
Yeah.
And I remember in 2018 when we were in the regional championship game, Crestview versus Pandora Gilboa, I think we had more talent on the floor, but Pandora Gilboa had a group of seniors who just were not going to be denied. And as you look at these games and how they played out, the opposition, a little more senior dominated. And I know that's a big thing to say when you're talking about a Cam Elwer, a Beckett Berkey, a Jordan Pretty. Those are really veteran players, and they're all back next year. But there's still a difference when you're a junior and when you're a senior, just your mindset. And I think that's what came into play a little bit here, Danny.
Yeah, I think for me, fellas, it's almost an arrogance on my part because I watch these teams all year and I forget there's still a lot of great high school basketball teams out there. And so when I see senior high lose, I'm like, whoa. But we had Quincy on here last week and he told us, he said, Winton Woods is loaded.
Correct.
They're really good. And I'm thinking, well, they're not going to come to Elida. And they did. Give them credit. And then you look, Delvis St. John's, I'd watched them so many times and we knew how much they, or how well they could shoot and how they, you know, they do so many things. And so after I watched Arlington play, I was less stunned because of how well they played. But I think sometimes I have an arrogance of we have the best basketball. I still think we, you know, as a whole have the best, you know, basketball with all of our small schools and stuff. But I forget, man, there's some really good players in the state of Ohio, and the tournament is, it's unforgiving. Like you really get humbled in the tournament, and you know, the school I graduated from and where I lived, and I we had some great teams that never got out of the district. And never got out of the regionals. And the one year that we do break through the ceiling, you go nuts because you never know when it's going to come back. Mm-hmm. Well, unless you're the Mac or Marion Local. You get it every year. Yeah. But, yeah, it's unforgiving.
Yeah, and you just have to bring that. It's one and done, you know. It's not best three out of five or whatever the case may be. And you got to have that mentality and you got to put all those eggs in that basket. And you have to be ready for those eggs to get broke, unfortunately, because only one team at each division gets to put on the gold ring.
Well, of those teams that lost, guys, and those teams that are bowed out, who has the best chance next year to make another run? Because I can make a case for pretty much all of them.
You can make a case for all, yeah. That's correct. The same thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
You
know? Absolutely.
LCC's got a ton of firepower. Shawnee's going to bring a lot back. St. John's, as long as they continue to shoot the basketball.
Yeah.
Just don't play zone on St. John's.
Right.
Play man-to-man. Yeah. Come on, play man-to-man.
Yeah. It's And the thing we don't really talk about is rosters are going to change this year. They changed last year. We saw a lot of guys move from school to school, and, you know, that's for another show. But it is the reality of high school basketball now, and high school football is rosters change from year to year.
Yeah, everything trickles down. We've seen it at the collegiate level, and now it's starting to happen all the more at the high school level. Yeah.
Guys, in your opinion, should the intentional foul call in the senior game have been an ejection? We've all seen that play.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, that's my answer, yes.
Yeah.
I saw it. Now, I am not a cop. I do not pretend to be one. I do not play one on television. But I saw a guy run in a diagonal line straight at a guy. I saw two hands fully extended. Like, that was – if that was not malicious, then I don't know what malicious is. Like, that was not predetermined in any – like, the, how – yeah.
Yeah, that was – yeah.
I did a lot of reflecting on that. Again, first of all, we get to play it over and over and over. The officials, it's right there. It's their only moment. What's the last thing an official's thinking about in a regional game at that level? Someone going out of character.
Yeah.
I've also thought about young men I've coached who are great kids who have lost their mind and done something like that out of character, and how you have to address it as a coach. So, do I think it was worthy of an ejection? Yeah. Do I understand why it didn't happen? Yes, I do. You did get the intentional foul.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that young man, he left the game. I don't know he came back in after that anyway.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that. But
yeah.
It looked bad.
It did.
It really looked bad, like you said, Randy. But I can't get in that young man's head. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was trying to make a play on the ball. And I'll never know that. But just the optics of it looked really bad. But again, the officials didn't have the luxury of replay, and we're not the NBA. So, guys, is it fair for the rest of your team to suspend a player for a regional championship game? We had that happen this week.
I mean, if it's something egregious enough, then I don't see why. I mean, if it's voted on by the players and the players agree that it was something that someone should sit out, then I'm fine with it.
This is a tough one.
It is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Is it fair to the rest of the team to suspend a player for a regional final game? it may not be fair, but you're in a team game. You sign up knowing that you got to have teammates out there with you. And if you want to be a leader of this team, you're one of the guys that needs to make sure that the other guys don't make poor decisions that cost everybody. That's what it's all about, all being in the foxhole together. And if someone makes a poor decision, and in this situation, obviously, it was handled, and that young man wasn't able to play, then the rest of us got to circle the wagons and get after it. And there are lessons to be learned there as well. That's what high school sports are about. It may not be fair, but it's reality, and you got to figure out how to deal with it. It's going to make you better in life.
I love those coaches that hold true to their principles.
Mm-hmm.
These are my non-negotiables, and this is what we're going to do. And you cross the line, and there has to be a consequence. And you just explained to your team exactly what you said, Dave, is we all got to pick it up together. And unfortunately, in this case, they did not move on, and you know, that'll be talked about for a long time. But
coaches, the administration, everybody's got to be on the same page, because when you walk out of that meeting, and I've been in those meetings, when you walk out of it, everybody has to understand that we're going down this road for these reasons. And when it comes down to – you got me fired up. When it comes
down
to it,
it's administrator day, right?
Comes down to it, we're trying to help a young man or young woman – realize the results of their actions and how that affects them, but also how it affects others and their teammates. Now, are we going to love that young person and keep an arm around them? Absolutely. Grow from this. Learn from this. Okay. But this isn't in the immediate. This is not a very good thing for this group of people trying to be a team.
That's what I was going to say, is your hope is that this player learns from this, right, and comes back next year and goes, hey, I messed up. I assure you that's never going to happen again.
Yeah, I think sometimes we as the older guys, and I've done this, is we really come down hard on that kid, but we're so far removed from being 15, 16, 17 years old. Those kids make bad decisions, and they have to learn from those. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You can't abandon them at a time when they're really struggling.
Yeah. And I have said that to young men as a coach. You're going to sit right beside me. I'm going to be right beside you, and we're going to look everybody in the eye.
Yeah.
And we'll grow from this.
Yeah, that's great. All right, guys, let's preview some games for the weekend. We've got a dandy in the girls' state final. Columbus Grove, 26-2, led by Lauren Ockmoody, everybody's player of the year. Nicole Nesby, Aubrey Schrader, Kendall Paul. I could go on and on with this team. I love this team, guys. They're taking on Rootstown. Rootstown, 27-1. They get up and down the court, guys. They average 61 points a game. Here's something strange, though. Their only loss of the year was to a 5-17 Revere team. I just wonder what happened during that game. You know, a 5-17 team, but this is going to be a dandy. Mm-hmm. Rootstown's got three girls in double figures. I really like this matchup, but I like Grove's chances.
Yeah, I'm real happy for Columbus Grove and Coach Brian Schrader and being in this game. They've never won a state championship. Pulling for them again as a fellow Northwest Conference member, Putnam County League member, and Lauren Ockmoody, she has just done it right all along. And I've enjoyed watching, you mentioned her, Nicole Nesby, get better throughout her career. And it's going to be big. Inside play is going to be huge for Columbus Grove in this game.
Yeah, I looked at Rootstown's last couple of games, easy for me to say, 37-36, 57-54. So at tournament time, you find ways to win. Like, nothing else, that's the important part, right?
Turns into find ways to win.
Yeah, and so I think I saw the same numbers you did, Danny. So a little point guard that makes them go, and there's some size. They go 5'9", 5'10", inside. I know the one girl's like a 52% shooter, about 13 points a game.
On the same website, Randy.
So, yeah, I think so. So it actually worked for once.
Yeah.
So, I was looking at that matchup. I mean, the size might give Grove a little bit of trouble. But I'm pulling for you. You always want the local teams to win, right?
And guys, that game the other night against Minster, I loved Coach Schrader in the waning seconds of that game. He didn't call the timeout.
No timeout.
He let Lauren Ockmoody come down and do what Lauren Ockmoody does, and she won the game for him. Mm-hmm. And you could just see that smile on Coach Schrader's face. Yeah. Man, I love it when coaches trust their players.
Yeah, and that's a big piece, that trust factor. But Lauren Ockmoody, she's earned that. It just didn't happen. And again, she did a great job, and and her description of how that played out, I took a big breath and I realized there was not going to be a timeout, and I went to work. I loved it.
Guys, we got a rematch in our next game, a rematch of last year's state finals, albeit a different division because we went to 14 divisions this year. But Fort Laramie comes in at 25-3. They're taking on Waterford, 26-1. Guys, if you know anything about Waterford, boy, they got a tradition at that school. They average 50 points a game. They give up 30 a game defensively. But I'm telling you, I raved on the broadcast the other night about Victoria Mesher and Avery Brandaway. Their skill sets for 6-foot post players, unbelievable how they can put the ball on the deck, how they can post up. They know the game so well. I like Fort Laramie in this one.
Absolutely. They just play so athletically within themselves. They're never out of position. They don't make poor decisions, and they put so much pressure on you with their defense, and then they just come at you in waves. And that's what, again, noticing them throughout this season. Last year, Crestview had the opportunity to play them in the Final Four. I said, they just have several bodies, Coach. I wish you the best, Coach Gregory, but, man, they're just going to come at you in waves, and that's what they did. That's what they're doing now. That's why it was great to hear the OG girls talk about such a great win for them over Fort Laramie.
Before I get to you, Randy, Dave, where do you rank Carlos Siegel in the greatest coaches of all time state of Ohio? Because for me, I got her top five of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's incredible. I love talking to her. I love how she goes Bobby Knight on the bench. Mm-hmm. I do. But she's the nicest lady.
That's where I was going to go.
She's so awesome.
Had them last year against Lima Bath, and I had a chance to talk to her during the JV game, and she just talked to me like I was the only person in the world that mattered.
Right.
And you can see how that is conveyed to her players as well as a result. Great eye contact, locked in, and then, again, it was fun watching her coach that particular game as well.
But with this game, Randy, Waterford, who's got the advantage here? Waterford, knowing they got beat last year by Fort Laramie?
Mm-hmm.
It's the old, it's hard to beat teams twice. Well, you didn't know you were playing the state finals.
Right. Yeah, and you talked about the size for Fort Laramie. Well, Avery Wagner back again at 6'4". Oh, by the way, state semifinal, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks.
That's,
I guess,
good.
Magador.
That's pretty good, yeah, for Waterford.
Yeah. So, good luck.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. See, I think 6 foot is big for girls. 6'4 is gigantic. That's
Calvin,
by the
Willow. Way, a guard that's a 40% 3-point shooter, she can kick it out too.
Yeah, I've read quite a bit today on Waterford. I'm pretty impressed with that program and the way they do things.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great matchup. Guys, let's go to the boys' side here. What a dandy we've got at Bowling Green State University Friday night. Marion Local comes in at 25-2. Colonel Crawford, 25-1. The Eagles have won 25 in a row. I don't know if I've ever done anything 25 times in a row. And they've won 25 games in a row. Dave Sheldon does a great job.
Yep.
You know, Dave had a great career over at Bluffton as a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was down at Cyrus Winford.
Yep.
What a tradition they have. But this Marion Local team, not so fast, my friends. 6'8", Austin Niekamp, Braden Mesher, Kale Arnes, Grant Kramer. I love this Marion Local team.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Colonel Crawford, Coach Sheldon has always talked when we've had communication about how basketball on the west side of 75 is a little different than on the east side, very complementary to the toughness that's brought. But he'll have his kids ready for this game, no doubt. John and Payne DeGray inside Colonel Crawford.
Yeah, he had a huge dunk at the end of that game against LCC.
Gosh. Yes, and Ken Reeker replayed it 3 times, so I got to say 3 different things. That was fun.
What was your best call on the dunk?
Oh, I think it was something with emphatic.
You had to say dunkalicious, didn't you?
No, I did not. I did not. Two-handed and going upstairs.
We saved that for another guy.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But anyway, it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be fun to watch because both teams are going to stay with what they do and really try and make the other opponent break or the other team break. And I think it's going to go down to the wire. Braden Holt, just an outstanding point guard, the player of the year in the Northern 10 for Colonel Crawford. And he transferred. He came back. His parents are Colonel Crawford grads. They came back home. His dad was a head coach, and things didn't work out at Triway Wooster. Wooster Triway, and he came back, and they have really put it together this year. But boy, Marion Local, They know how to win. They know how to get it done. Austin Niekamp, I've watched him very closely from his freshman year on. He's just really fun to watch.
Yeah, Randy, let me ask you this.
My notes say Braden Holt. That was mentioned. My notes say Payne DeGray. Yeah. That one was mentioned.
John DeGray, too. Yeah.
Randy, let me ask you this. You watch a lot of basketball. You know these high school teams as well as anybody. When Colonel Crawford goes on the floor and they look across there and they see those Marion local jerseys, how much of an effect does that have on you?
You know, it's they're going to say none, but I think deep down inside they're like, we're a little intimidated, right? You know, they're well coached.
Yes.
Like Dave said, so that's not going to be as, you know, it's one thing in football. Oh yeah, you're beat the minute they walk out of the tunnel, right?
Yeah, that's a great
point. You know, basketball. I don't know if it. You know, they're gonna okay. They've got a big guy. Well, we've got a big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they got a really good guard. Well, we have a really good guard. I mean,
and they can't tackle us.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they can. But
wait, the most that they can score at a time is three. Oh, okay, we're okay with that. Good. We can answer that. So.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, yeah, the it's one of those, and it's gonna be almost the same thing when we talk about the other semifinal. It's almost gonna be one of those things like who imposes their will. Right, so yeah, you mentioned, you know, Logan Goddard's another guy, mm-hmm. that great defender.
Yes,
great defender. So, is he good enough to stop Marion Local, or is Marion? You know, so it's one of those things where
a lot of matchups.
Right, it's the human chess. Right, yeah. It's the fun part of why. Yeah. Why we do this.
It's why we talk about it, and our wives look at us like, what are you doing? Exactly. What do you care about a 6'8 kid? You know?
Why are you yelling at the TV when every player's about this big?
Guys, game two up at Bowling Green State University. Arlington at 24-3, taking on Rushi, the number one team in the state of Ohio in Division VII. I've been taking heat all year because they were my preseason favorite to win the state title. I know, big stretch, 12 seniors, they've been to state. They're so good. They have length. They have size. 12 seniors, really well coached. And then you look over to Arlington, coming off of a huge win over Delta St. John's. Calvin Willow playing a terrific game. Can he do the same thing? There's so many questions about this game.
Well, there are, but I'm really excited for this game.
I got my
game.
Pen ready.
There you go. Okay. I had Rushi early in the year against Botkins, the second time they played. And what I'm really interested to see is because I said Rushi was like an Abrams tank, and they had all the bells and whistles, and you know it's coming, but you just can't stop it.
Right.
Well, Arlington with Willow at 6'10", and their guard play, maybe they can a little bit more. I do think Rushi is the favorite going into this game, but I think Arlington's going to be ready to go. Coach Vermillion and his staff, they'll have a game plan ready to go. They've got to keep Cordonier from penetrating, and they just really have to try and play that zone and keep them out on the perimeter. And I think some good things could happen for Arlington, but it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be a fun game, and it's needed. It's right back at BGSU.
Yeah, Rushi's one of those teams, and I was putting some notes together against Botkins, and they played the regional final. Like, well, we're in a tight game. Well, we're just going to close the opening quarter on, what, a 12-0
yes,
run?
Yes, exactly.
Start the second 8-0. We're just going to go on a 20-0 run, and we'll just – we'll take it from here. And it just is it that easy for them? They just flip the switch and
this is a team, guys, that, and I'm raving about Marion Local, but 2 weeks ago they beat Marion Local 55-29. That's a pretty good, impressive win. I watched them 2 years ago. Gilly and I went down to Rushi and caught a game down there. And all these sophomores, and I'm like watching these kids, and they all look like seniors. They're all big kids. You can tell they work out. They understood the game. And the last couple of years, they've just been dominant. And unfortunately, they've ran into Richmond Heights the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I remember in the press conference last year after that game, somebody said something to Coach Cordonia about, "Hey, what about seven divisions next year?" And he's like, "It only benefits us." Mm-hmm. It was tongue in cheek. You knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
You knew what he was saying. But they've done everything the right way, and that's a really nice community, and that's a good school, and that's a good team, and it's a heck of a challenge for Arlington. But we talked to Coach Vermillion today, and we said, "You were the underdog," and he said, "We embraced it. We embraced it." Mm-hmm. And we talked to our kids, and they come out with fire in their eyes. And can't shoot much better than what they shot. No. They shoot like that against Rushi. They're right in that game. So.
And Coach Cardonier, like you said, the 11-12 seniors, what a psychology experiment there to keep all those guys on the same page and to go undefeated at this point in time. There's a lot of roles that have been accepted that, again, in practice every day, I don't want you to accept that role, but on Friday and Saturday night, we all got to be on the same
and
page.
And that's a school, and I don't know if everybody knows the story. They lost their head coach a couple years ago. He was tragically killed in a car wreck, and they've just bonded together, and it's a Disney movie, you know, and it's a great ending here. Regardless of win or lose, you can be real proud of. So, guys, who's your Stolle superstar and Stolle sensational team of the week? Stolle Insurance, one of our best buddies here on the show. Love him to death.
Always appreciate Stolle. Yeah. I got to go with Arlington, the Red Devils again. That was a great win. It was fun as a coach to watch a game plan run to perfection. And then also with Calvin Willow, which is what he did inside. I know we've talked about him already in the broadcast, but just such a great job of when they were down 10 in the third quarter. You mentioned it, Danny. I was getting ready to say, okay, let's go watch the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Because they were on at 4 o'clock, and I thought this game's over. And then they call timeout, and they go on a 10-0 run, and then it's anybody's game in the fourth quarter. And just to believe – the only people that it really mattered that believed were the ones in that locker room, and obviously their community did as well. But, man, they really believed that they could get that done. They executed that game plan, and they're my Stolle super team, and he's my superstar.
Now, I'm going to beat the drum for Shawnee again since, again, that's the team I saw the most. But can you say about Beckett Berkey?
Oh, I love that kid.
31-9, played all 32 minutes against Toledo Central Catholic. Had to settle for 31.5 minutes against Sandusky.
Oh, darn it.
Right. And only went for 22-8. Sorry, 22-4 with 5 assists. I still have, like, brought the stats.
I wondered how you get there.
Right. Yeah, memorize. It's all up here, Danny.
He's fantastic. He's been fantastic all year long.
Yes.
For me, I'm going to agree with you, Dave. It was Arlington. It was Coach Vermillion, Calvin Willow. I talked to Coach Vermillion today, and I said, what did you tell your kids when you called that timeout down 10? Mm-hmm. And he said, Danny, he said, we had a guy come in the night before to talk to the kids about situational basketball. And he said, that's one of the situations he talked about. And he talked to us about how to handle it. And he said, I brought those kids in, and I looked at them, and I went, all right, here's what we talked about. Let's do this, this, and this. And he said, they just went out and did it. And he told me that he missed the last bucket right before the third quarter ended. Yeah, because he was looking down. So just a special moment. Mm-hmm. That's my Stolle team of the week is the Arlington Red Devils, and runner-up to Shawnee and Delphi St. John's. I mean, we're so blessed with teams here in
we
Northwest.
Are.
We're really blessed with teams in Northwest Ohio, so that's kind of cool. All right, guys, we had a segment for Nate, but he's not here tonight, so we're wishing him to get well, and it's a great segment. We'll do that next week. Guys, let's talk a little bit about Ohio State basketball. Another loss, another double-digit lead in Indiana. Why does this continue to happen? And I don't want to bang the drum on Jake Diebler because I'm a Jake Diebler guy. I want to believe in him. But, man, this is really hard. Don't say Toledo Rockets.
Right. No, they're in the same boat. No, they've somehow ended up in the 4-5 game in the MAC tournament. But is it just and I haven't watched nearly as much Ohio State basketball as the two of you, but is it situational basketball? Is it just – is it a mindset or we got the – are we bringing in the wrong guy? I don't want to say wrong guys.
I'm going to give you my take.
Go for it, Danny. You're ready.
I am. He's going to get me fired up. He knows exactly what to do and say. That grin, I've seen it before because I've watched Buckeye basketball. There's no NBA players on that roster.
Correct.
They're not. When you go to a hostile environment like Assembly Hall and they have NBA players, and I'm not saying it's littered with NBA players, but they've got some. And you get down and you start to panic. And who's the leader on that team? It should be Bruce Thornton. Is it Devin Royal? Is it Junie Mobley? I don't know. And we have no post play some games. Some games Sean Stewart will get you 12 rebounds. The next game he comes out and gets you one rebound. Bradshaw some nights gets you 12 points. The next night it's 3 points. There's just no consistency. There's turmoil in the program. You have a guy that quit the team in Michi Johnson. You have guys that have been hurt. You have an investigation in the middle of the season. It's just one of those seasons you just want to throw out. And I said this on the air the other day that this is the the least I've ever been interested in the program at Ohio State. And I'm a Buckeye junkie when it comes to basketball. And it's just, it's not got me excited this year.
I'm going to look at the glass half full to start
this
with.
This is why Dave works so well with me. He's going to talk me off the ledge.
What was the major concern about Coach Holtman in the last couple years? What did we run into in January or February?
No swoons. We would go 9
exactly.
in a row. Yeah.
Exactly. We didn't do that this year.
No, we did not. No.
And that's one of the things we said last year, okay, as long as we don't go 0 for January.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that. We're 9-11. But it comes down to it, and the way the game's played today, it's all about matchups. Mm-hmm. It's all about matchups, and it's not necessarily about team execution anymore. Because you can have a Bruce Thornton one possession on Saturday. He dribbled the ball the whole 25-second shot clock and then took a shot. And I like Bruce Thornton. I like a lot of the pieces with this Buckeye team, but there aren't enough big pieces. Right. Jimmy's and Joe's are what's going to get it done. And right now, this team, Coach Diebler needs to keep the guys that we feel, that he feels are going to help him next year. We need to get a year older. And then he's got to bring some guys in. He's got two freshmen coming in, but you got to hit the transfer, and the transfer's got to work for you. I just feel like, you know, we are the benefits of this when it comes to college football. Ohio State's up at the top.
Yeah,
we're not in the mid-level in football. Well, we're in the mid-level, trying to be in the mid-level with hoops, and everybody else is scratching and clawing for those transfer portal kids as well. And it just is so challenging. And I do think we got to get better at team execution. When you think about and listen to post-game conferences, we never talk about we didn't execute this play. It's all about, well, the ball didn't go in for us. Or they went on a string. They had three or four possessions. I thought we played good defense on three out of the four. The one we didn't. I want to hear, well, you know, our out-of-bounds plays coming out of timeouts, we didn't get it done tonight. Well, I don't even know that we're running any sets out-of-bounds, out of timeouts or anything.
I don't know what our identity is.
Exactly. And that's what's got to get established before you can take that next step. And it's just so challenging today. I get it. I'm pulling for Jake Diebler. I agree. But this is his first full year of ever being a head coach at any level, right?
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's handled it fairly well.
He's done a really good job.
He
ended last year on a nice winning streak, and they took in the NIT. And I thought that was important to get the NIT and get a few wins. And they played some good teams in the NIT. They came up short against Georgia in that loss at home. Well, let me ask you this: NIT or NCAA, and how many games do they got to win? They're 17 right now, and they got to. You look at their matchups. They got Iowa, which is going to be a tough matchup. If they win that one, they've got Illinois. If they win that one, they got Maryland. And if they win that one, they got the winner of Purdue, Michigan. I know I studied the bracket. I'm afraid.
Mine's only half filled out.
Yeah. Well, don't they start with Northwestern?
Buckeyes have Iowa.
Oh, we have Iowa now, so that changed in what I thought it was. Okay.
To answer, I think it's two. I think you have to get out of the opening day. So I think you're going to have to get two wins in the NCAA tournament to get – I'm sorry, in the Big Ten tournament to get
– Do you think 19 will get you in?
Yeah. And the good news is the bubble's bad this year.
Yeah.
So that helps you out a little bit, and there's no big – you know, it seems like the power conferences are either feast or famine, and there's no big darling mid-level team that everyone absolutely loves that – hey, if they don't win the conference tournament, put this team in. You know, there's no 30-1 Gonzaga out there right now. So, I think you need two wins in the tournament.
Yeah, Dave, what do you think? Would you rather get one game in the NCAA and lose, or maybe three games in the NIT?
That is a tough question. And when you had your whole team coming back the next year, and you knew you had them come, I'd like to go the three games at the NIT because you're going to get better.
Now, may I also bring up the fact that there's this new tournament that Fox is
correct, which so, haven't heard a whole lot about.
Yeah,
like the CBA is a third tier.
It's
tournament.
So it's going to be the teams all or mainly from the conferences they have contracts for.
Okay,
and so it's 16 teams.
I'm not sure, but
I
want to
say 16, three guaranteed from the Big Ten, three guaranteed from the Big East and three guaranteed from the Mountain West.
Okay.
and then filled in with whatever. So
to be honest, I'd rather be one and done in the NCAA tournament instead of playing three games in the NIT.
At least then you can go out and recruit and tell the kids, hey, we took a team that went to the NIT last year. We got us in the tournament this year. We're making strides. Do you think that roster is going to shake up this year?
Yeah.
I do too. I think there's a chance Bradshaw leaves. I think there's a chance, and I hope – I think there's a chance Junie Mobley moves on.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I just
because that's in his resume.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. I don't know if Sean Stewart's committed. I think Colin White's a lock. I think Austin Parks will stay. I think, Bruce Thornton, I think he's dedicated to the program now. I'm shocked if he leaves for his senior year, but we've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
All right, guys, last question on the sheet. How much do you miss Miles on the show? And guess who wrote the sheet is Miles. How much do we miss Miles? Yeah.
I'm going to let you go first.
I've had my fill of him for the week.
Yes. Yeah.
Obviously, it's a very special day for him and the lovely Lexi. So
happy anniversary, Miles.
Happy anniversary, Miles.
So get well, Nate. He's under the
yes, exactly.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in and filling in. I really appreciate it. You guys did a fantastic job. You're welcome to come on the show anytime.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. It's been the Three Wise Men on WSN. Join us next week.